This week's soundtracking is brought to you by sleep brand Casper. We all strive for a good night's sleep. Let Casper help you achieve this with their outrageously comfortable mattresses, which come straight to you from the manufacturer. Considering you spend a third of your life on one, why not at least try the 100-night trial with free, no-hassle returns if you're not happy. Shipping is also free if you are within the UK. Interested? Good, because you, our lovely listeners and subscribers to Soundtracking, will receive a special offer. Get £55 off towards any mattress purchase by visiting casper.com and using the promo code Soundtracking at checkout. Terms and conditions apply. Fancy an alternative to traditional banking? Why not try Tide, the nimble banking service which saves small businesses time and money? Quick mobile setup, automated bookkeeping and invoice assistant are just some of the appealing features that you can get access to. Sign up for a free account for 6 months, then it's pay as you go with no monthly fees ever. To take up this offer, just use the promo code soundtracking at Tide.com. It's high time we had a bit of Nordic noir on this show, so it's an absolute pleasure to welcome rising Swedish star Thomas Alfredson to Soundtracking. Thomas made his name with Let the Right One In, which was described by legendary critic Roger Ebert as the best modern vampire movie. He then took charge of the adaptation of classic novel Tinker, Tailor, Soldier, Spy, for which he employed the services of Spanish composer Alberto Iglesias. In my opinion, Alberto's produced an absolute masterpiece. Now he brings us another project based on a book in the shape of The Snowman, Joe Nesbo's dark, disturbing and thrilling international bestseller. Starring Michael Fassbender, Rebecca Ferguson and Charlotte Gainsbourg, the film is scored by the ever-reliable Marco Beltrami, whose piece, Finding Katrine, from the film is playing now. Since the score is not commercially available yet, we owe a huge debt of gratitude to our friends at Backlot Music for sending us all the cues in advance. You can get hold of them yourself in a week or so, but meantime, you'll hear plenty of examples over the course of the next half hour as Thomas deconstructs Marco's work in fascinating detail. Thomas, welcome to Soundtrack, and it's a real pleasure to not just see you again, but also get the chance to watch another one of your fabulous films in the cinema.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
On a proper screen.
On a big old screen where the sound is kind of, it's at that point where it's almost too loud, and that's exactly what it should be.
Exactly.
Where it gets under your skin.
Yeah.
And from the off on this film as well, your senses are kicked off immediately. Even you feel cold. And for me, the soundtrack felt really subtle. Felt almost a bit like a pulse.
That's interesting to hear, because I'm a drummer.
Are you?
Yeah, or I was a drummer.
Never not a drummer.
Exactly. And there's always, you know, a beat in a scene. Could be a cut, or it could be someone putting a glass down on the table, or turning around, or a car passing by. They could all be a part of the same
rhythm,
beat,
or
not a beat,
yeah,
or not in the right beat. Mm. You know, if you want to change that, but it's like a constant. What do you call that?
A metronome.
Metronome. Mm. I feel. When doing films, and that starts already when you're blocking a scene.
Yeah.
You always know when you're out of sync or out of that beat. And good actors also feel that beat.
Do you talk to them about it? Is
no.
it something you vocalize? No. It's got to be felt. It's got to be instinctive.
You know, you just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And you could just look at each other and, yeah, I need to move that a bit later, or I need to do that. Because it has to do with this metronome, so to say.
start thinking about the music that's going to be within the film? When you talk about this beat, and then obviously the music has got to fit with that, mm-hmm. and to complement that.
No, it doesn't have to fit with it. Actually, many times I've been struggling in the cutting rooms with a scene that is just not, you know, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And then you start, okay, I need to do this. I need some help from a music track.
Mm-hmm.
And I, okay, what about this and that music? And I put it on, and I can create the whole cut to the music, and then I get rid of the music. So it's not there.
Yeah.
But the absence of it creates, a beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's one metronome. But so the score could be a different tempo, a different clock, a different system. But they could create simultaneously. And I think we've done that quite a few times in the film. We have double tracks. You'd have the music that would be played in the room
mm-hmm.
simultaneously as you have score music.
Yeah.
You know, and they would be competing. And the ear, if it's the right tracks, if it's the right style, the brain can perfectly well accept two different layers of music, and the brain can sort it out and understand which one, because the characters in the film cannot hear the soundtrack, but they can hear what's coming out from the radio,
mm-hmm.
let's say. So those rules are quite delicate, they're quite sophisticated. But you can play with them much more than you might think.
Yeah. People search the Soul Man soundtrack at the minute, they're going to get a very different soundtrack to the one that you have with the Raymond Briggs walking in the air.
Right, right. With the... That's a different one.
Which is a very different story than the one you've done.
Yeah.
Alan Jones with his very high-pitched choir voice. And I loved the work that Margot did in Logan. I thought that soundtrack was out of this world.
Yeah.
It's an incredible piece of music, that whole score. What were the conversations you had with him for Snowman?
I wanted him to relate to three themes. One theme was the mountains, the nature, you know, the grandeur of the Norwegian landscapes. The second was the sort of love theme between Harry and Raquel. third was The Ticking Clock, the thriller-esque, yeah. the time running out. I also told him it doesn't have to be, do you say uniform,
mm-hmm.
about music? It
yeah.
doesn't have to have the same shape and form. It could be different.
Mm-hmm.
Too many things are sort of made to fit into a style
yeah.
or something today.
Yeah.
And I really thought he did that very well too. Then I wanted him to listen to a string instrument which is Scandinavian, which is called nyckelharpa, which literally translated is key and harp. So key, harp, nyckelharpa. It's like a violin with, you're not touching the strings, but you're pushing buttons.
Like a keytar.
A keytar.
Yeah.
Yeah? And that...
There you go, keytar, key harp.
Where does that come from?
I think it's a mix between a keyboard and a guitar.
Yeah. This is like very folkloristic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a very important voice in the film. He understood that. I sent him a lot of Scandinavian sounding folkloristic music, and there's harmonies that are quite typical for Scandinavian folk music, which is very bluesy. He had listened to that too.
Yeah.
So the harmonics of his score is very Scandinavian in that sense. I can hear
that tradition of this little location is set in.
Exactly. And he did this score, you know, in 3 weeks or something. I don't understand how the man works. It's fantastic what he accomplished.
3 weeks? That's incredible.
That's incredible.
The whole film.
We did work very intensely with cutting the film just two weeks ago. It was finalized, yeah, the film. So everything was made in the last minute.
Like the tension of the film and the
Exactly.
It's replicated in the actual making of it.
Exactly. Yeah. So that was very thrilling too.
And nerve-wracking, I imagine, as well, and kind of stressful.
It's very, very stressful. It's usually one of the most romantic moments in making a film is to record the score.
Yeah.
And this was no exception. It was absolutely fantastic when I heard that. And the crew he has and how he put this together, I still don't understand it because it's quite complex.
Yeah.
Too.
I love the idea that you've taught him something as well through your reference points and what you wanted to introduce him to in terms of the musical instruments that you wanted to reference points. That's amazing.
He also added this steel guitar into it, which was like the most unexpected suggestion, but I loved it. It's like I interpret it as the killer's tears. No. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
About you, but I feel, you know, the killer as a kid, we meet him in the beginning of the film.
Yeah.
And it felt like his tears.
The trauma that he goes through as a young boy. You never then see why he goes from that to that. Mm-hmm. I guess it's the only real point in the making of a film where you have to relinquish control slightly. It really is his interpretation of your work, isn't it? With your guidance and collaboration. Uh-huh. And I love the idea that he's come up with something, the steel guitar, which surprised you in a positive, brilliant way.
Yeah, it was like I would never have had that idea. And you could get tired of your own voice now and then, being a director, you know, being Mr. Know-it-all about
everything.
You know, everything regarding this film at least. But when there's someone of your co-workers approaching you with a color you haven't seen, That's the most fantastic moments because it's like the sum of so many people collaborating. That's also something that happens in reality when you're shooting.
Yeah.
You know, the unexpected rain or the unexpected thunder or a face you didn't know exist that's suddenly standing there in front of you, an extra or whatever it is, and that brings so much to the film. So working with Marco was very surprising in the greatest possible way. And he's not a very talkative man. He's quite quiet.
Mm-hmm.
I never visited him at home, but he's got like a farm way out on the countryside where he does his...
He walks course. Away. I had the absolute pleasure of walking around London over the last couple of days listening to the Tinker Tailor score again. And with it being part of this incredible film as a thing on its own, as an album of music, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
It's such a thing of joy and emotion and it's stunning.
He is one of the biggest composers of our time, Alberto is. I learned a lot working with him.
Yeah.
Especially with the cues. You know, compared to him, I'm a total amateur. There's always a very absolute cue where you would, okay, here's where you'd have a comment on the strings or whatever. But he would always say like 2 seconds before that or 4 seconds after that, which the most obvious place to put a cue.
Yeah.
And then he said, I'd rather do something to make the audience to prepare for something or to summon up something afterwards.
Yeah.
But not do the same thing simultaneous as it's happening. So that's his whole theory, it seemed. Prepare people to do a scary scene with some scary stuff before it happens.
Yeah.
You know, to lead them into a certain emotional state.
So clever, because you listen to it and you immediately picture those characters and those performances and even the colours of the film as well.
Yeah.
It's a real ignition of senses. What were the conversations that you had, and what point did he come in on the film on that? Can you remember? It's, I know it's a few years ago. Well, not that many. Yeah, 6 years ago?
Yeah, I remember it clearly. But he's such a lovely man, but his English is so poor. And you know, he's talking like, you know, Thomas, I don't like when films is, you know, but not good, but not bad, something, you know. And then he described maybe a little more soft or maybe hard, do you think? You know, it's like, it's just, his language is all over the place. But I understand him 100% because he's... The way he expresses himself with his hands and with his voice, I totally understand him.
Thank you.
he also came in quite late in that process on Tinker Tailor, and he was very unhappy with that.
And he was, being brought in so late.
Yeah, like I think he is like a bit slow and he needs his time and he cannot be rushed into things. So he was very unhappy with that and he suffered a lot with that. But when he came into the recording session, that was magic.
Yeah.
And how he connects with all the musicians. Could just do a little gesture with his hand and the harpist would know, you know, or they would do this. A magician, yeah. He's fantastic. I would absolutely love to work with him again.
Maybe on Smiley's People?
Maybe on Smiley's People. We never know.
I'm so sad we've run out of time. Hopefully we can do another one in the future where we
Why
can
not?
Talk about Let the Right One In, which I just...
That's a great score.
Yeah.
And that was an interesting...
Johan, yeah.
Johan, it was an interesting story there because everyone was expecting like a horror score. But after trying a lot of different moods, we decided on doing something very romantic.
It's a love story.
A love story, yeah, because it didn't work before the music was in place. So, yeah, that love theme he wrote for that is so beautiful and exactly what the film needed. And it sort of unlocked the whole film because it was too dark before it.
The importance of music.
The importance of music.
Thomas, thank you so much for your time.
And thank you. Very nice to speak to you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
From the score to Let the Right One In, that's Oscar in Love Rounding off this latest episode of Soundtracking, this week brought to you in association with Casper's Mattresses and Tidebank. My huge thanks to Thomas for talking to us. It's always a joy to spend time in his company. The Snowman is on general release around the world now, with Marco's score available via Backlot Music on the 20th of October. Head to edithbowman.com to catch up with all of our previous discussions about movie music with Denis Villeneuve, Ron Howard, John Favreau, and Sofia Coppola, among those who lie in wait. My website is also the place to subscribe to the podcast, or you can head to iTunes if you prefer, where we'd be most grateful if you leave us a rating. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at Soundtracking UK, where we'll keep you up to speed with what's coming up. Speaking of which, my next guest is none other than Mr. Michael Winterbottom. I very much look forward to the pleasure of your company then.